Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
So I realized something, that when it says five worship locations, it's not the same as you guys meeting in two locations. That means we've met in five different facilities. I just wanted to clarify that. I mean, God, you know, hey, maybe one day. Hey, can I just say happy anniversary to you guys, Essential Church, for 7 years? Could you just put your hands together for the ministry right here? I didn't know until I watched this video that Steve didn't think very much of me. And so I've got to talk to him whenever he gets back. And no, that's okay. Steve and I have been great friends. He's been just somebody that I've been able to call up throughout ministry and say, hey, man, you're ahead of me. What in the world do I need to do here? And so I love your pastor. It's been a real joy for me to be here, meeting many of you. I think it's awesome. We're gonna have a good time together as we look at God's word. So would you grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 4. And today we're gonna talk about boldness. If you are someone that likes to take notes and you need a sermon title and all that, the title today is Boldness is Essential. Boldness is Essential. So I think that I like asking what if questions. I often do this with my girls. I've got three daughters, and I'll ask them. I said, "What if someone gave you, you know, $100,000? What would you do?" And you know, we all like to imagine that. All of us, I think, like to imagine what would happen if somebody gave us a large sum of money, right? That's always fun to think about it. But you know, what if questions are helpful because they often reveal what's in our hearts or what's in our minds. What's our dreams. And a question that I want us to begin with is, what if we stopped letting fear hold us back? What would happen if, as we approach our faith, we stop letting fear be something that holds us back? Now, I'm going to say something that, as I think about Essential Church and where you guys have been, I believe that you have moved past fear and that you have demonstrated boldness throughout your history. When how this church was even begun, it, you know, Pastor Steve had come and the church where he was leading was going under and only had a few months to live and said, hey, what would happen? What are we going to do in these last minutes? Let's start over. Let's start a new church, which became Essential Church. That was a bold move. I think the easy thing to do would have been like, oh, man, this just isn't working. Let me just pack up and go do something else. So boldness is how this church began. And I think how the support that we received, it would have been a lot easier to think, dude, we could use like, a $10,000, $20,000 that we could have got from selling all this equipment because, you know, it was probably worth even more than that. But instead, you guys as a church took a risk on this country talking guy from South Carolina, and God has worked through that because of that. And launching a second campus, that takes boldness. There's always uncertainties, new things that as you lead and you're trying to wonder how all this can work together. And so boldness has been present, but I believe that as you look to the future, as you look to what's next, as you as individuals and as Essential Church, what I want to say is that boldness will continue to be essential for your story. And I'd like for us to look today at a story in Acts chapter 4, that really will set the stage for what it means for us to live bold lives. I'm going to give you a little bit of context. So there's two guys, Peter and John, and they were going to the temple at a time of worship and prayer. And as they're walking in, there's this guy, and he hasn't been able to walk his whole life, and he's begging, like, "Hey, give us some money." And they're like, "Hey, we're just some broke dudes. We don't have any money. You know, pull the pockets out. We're poor. We don't have money to give you, but we have something even greater." And so they say, "In the name of Jesus, be healed." And immediately this guy's healed. Now, this is amazing because everybody knew this guy. He's always hanging out at the temple, like begging people. And now everybody looks and they see this guy and he's just been healed. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, if I had not been able to walk my whole life and now I can, I'm straight up going to do like some hill clicks or jump around or do something like that. Okay. So this guy's probably drawing attention, and Peter and John are like, wow, here's a great opportunity for us to do something bold. Let's proclaim Jesus. And so that's what happens, and that brings us to Acts chapter 4. So let's jump into the story. Acts 4, 1 through 4. Now, as they were speaking to the people, the priest, the commander of the temple police, and the Sadducees confronted them. Because they were provoked that they were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead using Jesus as an example. So they seized them, put them in custody until the next day, since it was already the evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Why they only counted the men, I don't know, but that's what they did. So there's 5,000. Now, if you're following the story of Acts, after the first sermon that Peter preached, 3,000 people came to faith in one day. Would that not be like the most awesome thing to see? 3,000 people, and they give their faith to Jesus, they're baptized, but now the church has grown to 5,000 plus because of their boldness. But the religious leaders of the day were just irritated. They didn't like it. They wanted to stop it, so they arrest them. Let's keep going. Verse 5. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family, the who's who of the religious day. So, verse 7. After that, they had Peter and John stand before them. They asked the question, by what power or in what name have you done this? They want to know, how did this happen? Like, you know, what did you do? And so they give the answer. Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. Verse 13 is really the key for us today. Acts 4:13. It says, and when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, they realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. So here's these guys, and we're a little distant from where they are, because you and I could go out today and we could just start talking about Jesus to people and no one's going to arrest us. Now, there's other places in the world that they're in the exact same circumstance, but right here in Virginia Beach, you could go out and you can tell people about Jesus. People might not like it, but nobody's going to arrest you for doing that. But for them, they're arrested, and you've got to think that there's some fear that could have came over them that says, okay, let's just not do this anymore. Let's not talk about it. So there was a temptation to fear. And I think we can all relate to that, that we're all tempted to fear when it comes to our faith. We're tempted to not be bold and to not move forward in faith. It could just be that you're at your workplace and you know, maybe the conversation's going on that you want to interject, you know, your faith and talk about it, but maybe there's fear hanging out right there. Maybe you're a student and you're at school. Wherever your circumstances, we've all encountered fear before. And what I want us to see in this story is how these guys had a boldness that was observable, and it led to people's lives being changed. And I believe that's the same for us today, that boldness is essential if we want to see this community continue to be changed by the name of Jesus. And so here, I want to share first this with you. First, we have to be bold about the right things. Bold about the right things. Do y'all know that sometimes the church has really missed this? Sometimes the church has become bold about things that really just don't matter. Things that aren't the most important things. I'll give you some examples. The fact that we have something called worship wars within the church where people are like debating. It's like, okay, what's more holy, like an organ or electric guitar? Dumb. That's just dumb. It's not something for us to argue about. Who cares? I don't care if you're worshiping with an oboe or whatever it is. That's not really what matters. But people fight about that. People fight about clothing. What do you wear to church? How do I know this? Because when we got ready to plant Bridgepoint Church, number one question that people asked me when I would invite them to come, they'd say, what do I have to wear? And that said something to me. I said, the fact that that's the first question that comes out of people's mouths means that we as the church have emphasized, we have bolded something that didn't need to be bolded, right? And the truth is, my answer was this, wear clothes, okay? Yeah, just don't wear a birthday suit. If you've got anything more than that, you're good, right? So just clothes, that's all you need. But sometimes we've made it about clothes, and can I tell you, that's just dumb too. I'm gonna tell you a story from when I was growing up. There was a guy that I had grown up with. We were in youth ministry together, and he didn't love the Lord. He would come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and then go crazy the rest of the week. Well, he ended up coming to know Christ, and his life was changed. It was amazing. He's just like, man, a super energetic guy. He was loving Jesus. And then I didn't see him for a while, and he came back, and I mean, he was like dressed different. He was talking different. His demeanor was different, and he was like, how you doing, brother? And I mean, like, we're both like 16. I'm like, whoa, you don't call me like brother. Like, okay, what's up? And so we start having a conversation. Like, man, it's so good to see you. And I'm holding my Bible, and he says, I've got a question for you. I said, okay, go ahead. He said, could you tell me what translation of the Bible you have right there? I said, I don't know. It's like the holy one. You know, it's like holy Bible. No. What's the letters? And I said, oh, NIV. He went, oh, no. He says, that's not a holy version. I was like, what's a holy version? He's like, the King James is the only version you can use. Now, here's why I tell this story. Somewhere along the way, he had got wrapped up about being bold about the wrong things. And that can happen to us. Sometimes we want to be bold about things that just don't matter. But what we see in this story is they were bold about the right things. Look back at verses 10 through 12 with me in Acts 4. Notice what Peter and John were bold about. In Essential Church, this is what I want to tell you. This is what you've got to be bold about. Let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you healthy. This Jesus, anybody get the feeling they're trying to say Jesus a lot? Is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people, and we must be saved by it. See, here's the thing. It's kind of like on Facebook, that friend that you have that types everything in all caps. And it feels like they're screaming. It's like, I don't think they know that that's like you're screaming about everything, right? But eventually you stop paying attention, don't you? You're like, they just don't know. And if we're screaming about everything, then it's like we're bold about nothing, really. But they chose to be bold about the right thing. And they said, we're going to be bold. If we're going to be bold about anything, we're going to be bold about Jesus, because that's really who people need to know. We're going to be bold about proclaiming salvation in Jesus. Salvation is in him. There's no other name, and we have to be saved by it. Church, can I tell you that if we're going to jump up and down on something, let's jump up and down on this. I don't want the number one thing that people think about me is which politician I hate. I'm not saying you can't have an opinion, but what I'm saying is, don't you want people to know more about your love for Jesus than they do anything else that sticks out about you? We've got to be bold about the right things. Now, where did they get this from? Where did they get this crazy idea that we should be bold about Jesus? Well, they got it from Jesus, okay? In John 14:6, he says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of people hate this because Jesus is not being just wide open. He's being very exclusive here, and he's very bold about it. He says, you don't like it. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Why does he do that? Because Jesus is showing us that if people are going to be made right with him, it has to be through a relationship with Jesus. There's nothing that we need to be more bold about. There's nothing that we need to proclaim with a deeper passion. And in Essential Church, we have to be passionate about proclaiming Jesus. Let's make the boldness. Now, I don't know if any of you know about hypertext markup language, HTML. I'm dumb about that stuff, but I know this. I know when I go to word processing, like Pages or Word, if I want to make something bold, I just click the B, right? And it becomes bold. But behind that, if you could look at the magic code that does crazy awesome things, It's bracketed by two words, and it's the word strong. Strong, you put the word strong. That's ultimately what we're talking about, is if we're going to bold something, let's bold the name of Jesus. Let's be bold about him so that as a church, people are like, what is that church all about? What is that person all about? Man, I don't know about everything, but I know they're all about Jesus. Here's the second thing I want to say that I see in our text today, is anyone can become bold. Anyone can become bold. Now, some of you may be thinking, you might be sitting there and you're like, man, I'm an introvert. I don't really like talking to people. I don't like meeting people. Believe it or not, my wife is like the extreme extrovert. When she meets people, like, we can't go anywhere without her meeting people, okay? And I'm actually like the behind the scenes guy. Like, I'm like kind of hiding out. I'm letting her do all the initial meetings, and I kind of like creep up. I'm like, hi, I'm Eric, you know? That's just more of who I am. And often we start to discount ourselves, or we start to say, the only people that can really be bold are those people that have that personality, or the only people that are bold, or man, they just have to really like how to talk. And so we often put ourselves out and we think, I can't be bold in the way that I see these guys being bold. But I want us to see something. There's something really revealing that happens in verse 13. Look back with me. It says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that they were, it says, uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed. You know what that tells me? That anybody can be bold. It doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter what your background is. You may say, I have only known Jesus for a short time. I don't know the Bible. Like, I would fail a Bible drill. If somebody named a book of the Bible, they said, turn to the book of John. I have no idea where that is. But can I tell you? That's not what qualifies you and enables you to be bold. What enables us to be bold is revealed right here at the end of this verse. So it says, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John, they realized they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed, and they recognized, notice these five words, they had been with Jesus. Can I tell you, that's where boldness comes from, is being with Jesus. It's encountering Jesus. Aren't you bold about the things that you really know from personal experience? I mean, you're bold about things that matter to you. And let me just tell you that it's personal experiences, the personal encounter with Jesus, that enables us to be bold. Now, I'm not gonna assume that everybody in there has had that personal encounter, but what I want to say to you is, I know so many of us in this room have, that we've come to recognize our need for Jesus. And we start to think, if Jesus can change me, then Jesus can change anybody. Does anybody ever get that feeling about yourself? You know you. You know your background. You know where you've been. And you know who you still are. And you think, if Jesus can love me and change me and redeem me and give me a new life and promise me forgiveness, if he can do that for me, then he can do that for anybody. And when that's inside of you, it can't help but to come out and be bold toward other people. So I believe that anybody that knows Jesus can be bold. But then there's a challenge, because you may be thinking, well, hey, pastor, they had a huge advantage because they got to walk around with Jesus day in and day out. I mean, like, Jesus is hanging out. They had a question they could ask him. So we're kind of at a disadvantage because they had Jesus right there beside them. Can I tell you that Jesus actually tells us the exact opposite? In John chapter 14, this is what Jesus said. He says, it's better for you that I leave. And I know his disciples are thinking, what? Why is it better that you leave? He says, because if I leave, I will send to you a helper, an advocate, the Holy Spirit. And he will not just be with you, beside you, but he will be in you. So Jesus was saying, me beside you is not greater than the Spirit within you. That actually, here's the thing, is when his disciples, they didn't always have Jesus with them. And they would start, you know, as they got distant and away from Jesus, they would start to fear. I mean, look at what happened when Jesus is arrested. They all like scatter, like turning on the lights, and roaches just like run away, right? And Jesus makes a promise. He says, my presence is going to be with you through the Holy Spirit. So here's this great gift. The moment that we have a personal encounter with Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside in us, and he becomes like Jesus within us. And then what happens is we have this amazing boldness as he turns people that you wouldn't naturally think are bold, and he gives us an extraordinary boldness. I want us to look at the very end of this chapter. So here's what happens. They tell these guys, they're like, hey, stop speaking in the name of Jesus. Don't do it anymore. And Peter and John, they basically say, shove it. We're going to keep talking in his name. That's my personal translation. They say, we're going to keep speaking in the name of Jesus. And then they leave after getting threatened some more. And then they go back and they tell everybody about what's happening. And they have this big praise and prayer session. And this is in verse 29, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. And it says, and now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your slaves may speak your message with complete boldness. See, here's the thing, is you may be bold on this day, but then you start to fear as things go on. And so we have to constantly come back and say, God, fill me up. Help me to be bold. Help me to continue in this boldness. Verse 30, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak God's message with boldness. So here's the thing, I think. We've got to be bold about the right things, and then we have to really believe that because of the Holy Spirit's power within us, because we have a relationship with Jesus, that any of us that know him can be bold in the way that he's calling us to. And the truth is, I don't know what your fears are when it comes to your faith. Maybe it just makes you feel like you're going to throw up to think about having to talk to somebody about your faith. Or maybe that's easy for you. But we're all going to encounter moments when we're asked the question, "What would happen if I didn't let fear hold me back?" Essentially, that's the question I want to ask you today. What would happen if you became a fearless church, continued and had an extraordinary boldness? How would your community be different because of that? How would your workplace, how would your school, how would your home, how would it be different if you just got before God and said, God, help to make me bold. God, I'm not bold on my own, but I am bold in you and through you. Imagine what could happen. Look where you are right now, but where could you be in 8 years, in 9 years, 10, and on and on and on. So here's what I want to tell you is God is not calling you simply to live by your bold actions in the past. God is calling each and every one of you to bold actions now, and boldness is absolutely essential. Would you just join me as we pray together and just join our hearts asking God to fill us up with this boldness? Father, we come before you and we praise your name. We thank you that you promised that you would give us boldness through your Spirit. So God, I pray that every person in here today, God, I pray for the one that hasn't yet encountered your grace, that they would encounter you and you would make them bold. God, the person that has been held back from fear in their faith, God, I pray you would overcome that fear today. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would come over us and that God, that you would shake this place, shake our hearts and shake this community so that we see lives changed as people encounter salvation in Jesus Christ. We pray all this with a believing prayer, knowing that you've heard us. And we pray it all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.